2 Corinthians, and I think it's somewhere around chapter 10 in one of those two letters, where Paul says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that's a decision that has to happen in our lives on an ongoing basis. Years ago when we were pastoring in Weyburn, I had a lady in our congregation come in, and I greeted her, and she says, I'm sorry I got out of bed on the wrong side this morning. And I looked at her and I said, well, do us a favor, go back home, get back into bed, and get out on the right side. No, seriously, I said that to her. And she looked at me and she says, I guess it is my decision. And it is. So if your soul is agitated about something right now, I encourage you to take authority over your own soul. Or as I said to Helen some months ago on the driveway, I was looking at her little yellow car and I said to her, possess ye your soul. She drives a soul. And we looked the verse up. It really is a verse of Scripture. You have the authority in Christ to request your soul to come in alignment with your spirit. We talked a little bit about this at Bible study on Thursday night. There is an accomplished work of Christ in you. It's done. But in Philippians 2, Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's not a period there. It goes on into the next verse. For it is God in you working to do according to his good will and purpose. So John, there's a determination that you need to make. And you have to decide each and every day for the Lord. And there's all kinds of things that enter in that can affect us. A couple of weeks ago, I was feeling a little sorry for myself because the condition behind my left knee was bothering me, and I was at work, and I'm struggling with this thing, and this guy greets me, and I greet him, and he asked me how I was doing, and I turned to look at him, and before I answered, I noticed that he had a prosthetic leg on his right leg. Suddenly, my left knee felt a lot better. You know, you've got to make those kind of decisions. You know, and there's going to be, if you're not in a trial right now. Remember James 1? We're in the book of James. We're in the second chapter. James 1 sounds almost masochistic. You know, count it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials. It's not F. It's when. Hello? And stuff is always happening. And part of the wisdom that God gives us, and that's in chapter 1, is for us to understand that God is more concerned, JT, with your character than with your circumstances. And that is an ongoing thing. So as we are continuing in James, this is the fifth devotional from the book of James. We had three in the first chapter, and this is now the second in the second chapter. So that gives us a total of five. Let's turn to the scripture, to James. It's a little bit before the book of Revelation. If you're at the maps and the concordance, go to the left and you'll come to the book of James. James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. And the theme this morning is on true faith. And I shared with Jordan, was that a week ago? About one of the faces, and his little eyes just about bugged out of his head. He didn't believe what I was saying. He looked at me and said, what? I said, one of the faiths that he deals with, and you're going to see it in just a moment, is demonic faith. Okay? This is not just from James. This is from the Holy Spirit. So here we are, chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Now, I am not sharing this devotional to pick at anything or anybody here. I said last week, this assembly is highly committed to missions and to helping others. This assembly knows what it is to put feet to the ground and put, you know, what's the old saying? Put money where your mouth is or something? You know? You do that. This is not to point fingers at it. All we're doing is going through the Word of God. And this is the next portion, and this is what it says. So this is not a reproof. I am, in fact, commending you. All right? Verse 15, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed or lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace and be warmed and filled, without giving him the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, verse 17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is, okay, that's major point number one, dead faith. Okay. But if someone will say, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verses 19 and 20, another description of an improper faith. Do you believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons do what? But they don't have faith unto salvation. They know, they understand who Jesus is. They believe and they shudder. Okay. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Verse 21 to verse 26, this he identifies the third kind of faith here. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. This assembly works. A couple of weeks ago, we were in the middle of VBS. A whole bunch of you were working. And then Jill and Howard and some other volunteers came in and they did the barbecue on Friday and included all kinds of people. And 11 years, you've been going down to Mexico. Yeah, praise God. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. We're not saved by works, but works are an evidence that something has happened in our life. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Should I pass to the grave before the Lord returns? I only want one thing on the stone, if there's one. You know, I finished the course. I've run the race. I the one thing I want is when I stand before the Lord Jesus to have him look at me and say, "Good and well done, my faithful servant." I don't want to hear, "You slacker, what did you do?" Verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Because we already saw earlier that faith without works is dead. Okay. In the same way, also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Let's pray. Father God, we accept this not just as the words of James, but we accept this as the words of the Holy Spirit spoken through James, that every word of the Scripture, according to 2 Timothy 3:16, is given by inspiration from God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the person of faith would be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. So, Father God, by your Holy Spirit, would you illuminate your word and give application to each one of us? The application for one person may be different than for the other, but your word speaks to each one and to each one individually, and you put your finger on something in each one of us that needs to be addressed. So we just give you the glory now in Jesus' name. Verses 1 through 13 was the devotional last week, and the Holy Spirit revealed three things to us. That first off, faith does not show partiality. We are not glued only to Wolseley. We support missionaries. We do work through you in Mexico. We give a significant amount as an assembly to missions. And that's the way it should be. I remember years ago, there was a Mennonite Brethren Church in Saskatoon, Forest Grove, that had built a new facility, and they were struggling a bit, and they invited a pastor from the States to come up and take the lead for a number of years, Brother Redicop. And I was with an organization at that time, and I happened to be there in the congregation, and I was representing a helps organization, an NGO, Hope International. And I was there for the message, and he stood and he shared, he said, I've talked with the leadership of the assembly here, and I speak to you as the believers that attend here. That we have a tough budget with the building. But here's what I've requested of the board. That they would double their missions. Trying to pay for the building, missions has been neglected. He says, I declare to you on the authority of the Word of God that if you will give to missions, God will look after the building. 3 years later, the building was paid. Darcy, often you say, this assembly amazes us, the giving. And the supply is there because we give away. We're not a respecter of persons. That's very important. We've helped to assist a number of families that have come into the Wolseley area. Some have been able to remain, and others had to move on, but that was no matter. They needed help, and we helped them. This assembly, we established years ago, a benevolent fund. And it's actually, I think if I remember right, it's actually on the offering envelope. And people can give to the benevolent fund. You cannot direct when you give to the benevolent fund. Yeah, it's midway down. You can give to the benevolent fund, but you cannot direct. Okay, you can't say, okay, I'm giving you the benevolent fund, but this is for so-and-so. That's against Revenue Canada law. That's no longer an offering. That's a gift that you're directing. We got all kinds of people that give regularly to the benevolent fund. And as the elders and deacons see need or become aware of need, they have the authority to use the benevolent funds to assist. And we do that on a regular basis. We're not a respecter of persons. Amen? Okay? That's a commendation. Okay? It's not a reproof. The second thing that comes out is faith keeps the royal law. And the royal law is simply love your neighbor as yourself. You know? And the third was faith demonstrates mercy. You know, it is grace, to my understanding, is the Bible word for the power work of the Holy Spirit in you. But do you understand that it was mercy that caused God to send Jesus into the world? That he knew you can't do the law, you can't succeed. But his mercy was extended. And remember, we talked about last week The Ark of the Covenant had Aaron's rod that budded. It had the Ten Commandments in it. But what sat over the Ark of the Covenant? Mercy seat. You can't do the law. And God covers the law with mercy. And this assembly strives hard to demonstrate the mercy of God to those that need help. You know, like at least once a month, you send money down to Mexico for Tony to take food to the poor. That's mercy. You know. I mean, for goodness sakes, I can skip a meal. You know. So now that takes us to this morning's devotional, and we're continuing in the introduction. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Now notice that the means by which you receive grace is by faith. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." There's some things that are happening. We're trying to get some work done in the house, and it's not happening. And fortunately, my wife is away, and she doesn't have to put up with it. And she's frustrated. She gets back Tuesday, and she knows it's not going to be done. And it was supposed to be done a week ago. It's not something I'm supposed to be doing. Okay, I'm off the hook. You know. I did do the dishes up. I've been doing them every day. You know? But someone said, you know, your house is so cluttered with stuff because we had to clean the kitchen, out the table and everything. I can't even vacuum, which breaks my heart. Hebrews 11:6 says, "For without faith it's impossible to please God." Okay, it's impossible. We have to have faith. "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." I found a statement by one commentator who says, "Faith is confidence that God's word is true and conviction that acting on that word will bring his blessing." Well, that's Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but in his law does he meditate day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Okay? God will bless. So this takes us now to major point number one. Dead faith. Verses 14 to 17, we've read this. Verse 17, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Many of the prophets of old would say the burden of the Lord came upon them." Okay? There's a burden that comes upon us. When we're truly born again of Christ, there's a burden that is laid upon us, and we need to respond. We need to do something. Now, the thing that concerns me a lot, and I shared this with Dave and Helen last night, we were visiting. They knew Lynn was away, and they knew that things in our place were in a place of enormous disorder, can hardly use the kitchen. So they invited me for supper, and we had a wonderful meal together, and we were talking about various things. Dave, as you know, is a former banker, and I'm a former banker, and I was training as an accountant at UBC in Vancouver. And one of the things I was introduced to was the Pareto Principle. He was, hundreds of years ago, literally hundreds of years ago, he was an Italian accountant. And he came out with what's called the Pareto Principle, that 80% of your results come from 20% of your input. And anybody that runs a business, you know that, you know, 20% of your workers are doing 80% of the work. You know, years ago, there used to be a sign, you know, "Caution, slow men working." You know, I don't know if this is the clip or not, but I had one where this guy's leaning against a shovel praying for a hole. You know, need to put some effort into it, you know. I've discovered through years of being involved in churches that 80% of what's done in a congregation is almost too accurately done by 20% of the people. You know? And that should not be a formula that is experienced in the Church of Jesus Christ. We're all called to good works. Okay? Ephesians 2:10 reveals that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Works don't save us. But works are an evidence that something profound has happened in your life. Yeah. Verse 16. And one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body. What good is that? None. Thank you. I had an acquaintance who I knew some years ago in the store the other day, and because of some stuff that was happening, I was running the till, and she was purchasing food for her mom, and she was short, and she said, well, okay, I'll return this. I said, no, you won't. You know? So I turned my back to the camera so they couldn't quite see what I was doing. I took out my wallet, and I gave her $20. She said, no. I said, no. We've been friends for years. You're here helping your mom. You know, I can give you this and it won't hurt me a bit. You know, and if I didn't, and I knew that situation, and I know it, what good was my faith? You know? Some of it, to be honest, was selfish. Because to return the item, I got to run it through, I got to print out the slip, and I got to get her to sign it, and I got to put down the transaction number, you know. But that wasn't the motivation. The motivation was, I've been delivering groceries to the mother for years. And she's not well. The daughter's here from Medicine Hat, and she's helping. And you do something about it. Because you care. And the little I gave her was worth the hug I got. Yeah. Okay. Our words need to become action. They need to be works. John, if you don't have that, your faith is dead. You know? What value? I may gain a value, but how is that salt and light? Are you tracking with me? Okay. Galatians 6:10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. If I have the means, the faith, and the compassion, and the Holy Spirit will move me into action. Yeah. He wants to. He wants us to get involved with Tony. I believe that. You do too, because with the exchange, we raised the money. In a week. When I got hold of Jill, I said, you know, where are we at? You know, I was blown away. That Sunday, you said $350 came in. That day. We announced it that day. We didn't know about it until that day. And in less than a week, the money was raised. I commend you. Ready? Okay, next. Oh, there it is. Quote of the week. God's in control, but he doesn't expect you to lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. Huh? And I've seen people do that. You know? God, I need a hole here. You got a shovel. Dig. You know? You remember the story of Abraham, where he went? He would dig a well, pitch his tent, and then he would build an altar. You know? And then in the scripture says that Isaac, his son, went back and redug the wells of his father. You know? You don't just pray, When you're in the land, you don't just pray for water. You know, when you're in the wilderness, God had to provide. He took you into the wilderness. He took you in a dry, arid place. And they called out for water, and God split the rock, and water flowed out. And in my mind, I don't know, this could be way off base. I don't know. I got to hurry. Oh, dear. Okay. Yeah, look at the clock. As the water flowed out from the rock, I saw, in my mind, I see it like the temple in Ezekiel. As the water flowed out, you remember? It was ankle deep, and then it was knee deep. And the more it flowed out, the deeper it got. But it was just a little bit that came out. Listen, you might feel it's just a little bit coming out of me, you know. I said to Larry, you know, very quietly after he prayed for the offering, I said, you always say, we return a little of what you gave us. I said, you know, it can be a lot, too. You know, and this assembly gives a lot. Okay, next. Let's kick it in gear here. 1 John 3:17, 18, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Okay, our faith needs to be alive. Any declaration of faith that does not result in a changed life and good works is a false declaration. That kind of faith is dead faith. Okay? That's what the Holy Spirit says. You know? And if that touches your soul, then accept it as being from the Holy Spirit. But this assembly, as a rule, doesn't act that way. Demonic faith. This is the one that kind of caused Jordan to look at me and say, what? You know? Part of my life, I was following false teachings. I was involved in an Eastern philosophy. And my life was going downhill. Verses 18 and 19. But some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you the faith by my works. You believe God is one. You do well. Even demons believe and shudder. 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 2. Now the scripture expressly says that in latter times, how many believe that we're in the latter times? Jesus called it the latter times 2,000 years ago. So we're 2,000 years into the latter times. We're coming to the end time. Okay? Expressly says, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits, the teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. John 8:44. Jesus says, you're of your father, the devil, who is the father of lies. Demons don't bring truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if I'm hearing something that contradicts the Bible, it's not just a human philosophy. It has demonic origins. And people are believing lies today. I find it very, very distressing. Demons believe, okay, you can put it up. They believe in the existence of God and the deity of Jesus Christ, Matthew 8:29, in his authority and the place of judgment. He said, you know, don't, you know, he's casting, thank you. Good works. the demonic man and Jesus is going to cast the demons out. Don't cast us into the abyss. They knew who he was. They knew he had authority to do it. So he said, you know, here's a herd of swine. Put us in there. I said this before. I still think it's funny. That's the first recorded time for deviled ham. Well, it was. He has the right to judge. Mark 5 and 7 and Matthew 8:29. They believed in the authority of God's word. That if Jesus spoke it, they had to obey it. But they shuddered. Okay? Saving faith. We're saved for good works. Ephesians 2:10. We already talked about that. we receive joy, 1 Peter 1, 8-9. Talks about that. It is joy inexpressible, full of glory. We receive peace, Romans 5:1. Through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Philippians 4, by prayer and supplication, we experience the peace of God. I showed somebody my phone this morning. It timed my sleep. I was very disturbed. My wife is very upset because things weren't happening on schedule. I got 4 hours and 51 minutes of sleep because I was worrying rather than praying, and I wasn't experiencing the peace of God. I had peace with God, my spirit, but my soul was out of alignment. Are you tracking with me? Okay. We receive love, not fear. They shuddered, but perfect love casts out all fear. Okay? Here we go. Are we not going to do the major point number two break? How many follow baseball? The seventh inning stretch? Stan, we're going to do the point two stretch, and then we're going to complete the message, and then Josh is going to come out. Divine faith, and the Holy Spirit illustrates it with two examples. First, okay, we have Romans 12:3, for by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, get this, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. God has given every individual a measure of faith. Now, you're not stuck with that because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We can grow our faith. You know? Jude talks about that. That your faith growing. Okay? We looked at that some time ago. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1-2. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. Get this. For not all have faith. Some have dead faith. Some have demonic faith. But not all have faith in the living God. Amen? Okay? Hopefully you've made that decision to receive Jesus Christ. You see, dead faith has an intellectual understanding. Okay, I believe that God's real. Okay, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's where it ends. Faith without works is dead. There's others who reject that and believe all kinds of different things. And that's demonic faith. That's emotional. You know, when I was involved in Eastern philosophy, it struck a chord to me emotionally, but it lacked something. But there's a third measure that has to come in, and this is where divine faith comes in. In divine faith, you make the decision to walk with God. It involves your intellect. It involves your emotions. But most important, I have decided. Remember that old song? I have decided to follow Jesus. Yeah. Was it the cross before me, the world behind me? Though none go with me, still I will follow. It's an act of the will. Okay? Next. That's in chapter 1. Count it all joy, brethren. Remember we talked about that. You can go back to the bulletin, or you can go back in on our website and go to chapter 1. Let, you know, count it all joy. That's attitude. We need to understand that God's working something through. We need to surrender to God's will. And we need to seek wisdom. Okay? Faith is not believing in spite of evidence. Faith is believing in spite of consequences. Things aren't going according to plan right now in our house. In my soul, I'm troubled about that. In my spirit, there's peace. I got to get them connected here. Okay? Verse 21. It talks about, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? And that, in Hebrews 1 and 8, Abraham was told to leave his land and go to another place. He didn't have a map. He didn't have CAA. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't have, GPS on his phone. He didn't, and he says, are you willing to go out not knowing where you're going? That's Oswald Chambers, January the 2nd. It's one of my favorite devotionals. Then verses 17 and 18, he talks about God told him to offer up his son, his only son Isaac, on the altar, and he was prepared to do that. And you don't discover until Hebrews that he believed that if he slayed his son, God would raise him from the dead. And I've learned through the years that if I give to the work of the Lord, I'm never short. When I accepted Christ, one of my coworkers, I was an accountant at number 3 Road in Richmond with the Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce, and my senior assistant accountant, I was the accountant, he says, my parents are Christians, and now you've accepted Christ. Do you give 10% to the church? He says, my parents do all the time. He says, it bothers me. I says, yeah, I do too. He says, how can you afford to do it? I said, well, tell you the truth, I'm money ahead. Because it wasn't until after I became a Christian and started to work out my budget that I had discovered I was spending over 25% of my earnings on alcohol. So I was up 15%. And that was just on what I was buying. That wasn't on the other things that you do with the alcohol. You know, you go to the bar. Well, you know, that wasn't my LCB tab. That was, you know, like, this is crazy, man. You know, Abraham was never short. Okay? And in the same, okay, and then he gives a second illustration of Rahab. Remember the story of Rahab? They're coming out of the wilderness. They're entering the land. Moses has died. Joshua's been given the authority to take the people in. And they go in and they spy out the city, Jericho. And the spies go in to Jericho and they go to a house of the prostitute Rahab. And she hides them. And her house is on the city wall. Because people didn't want people walking through their city to get to the prostitutes. They had her right on the wall. She was a Gentile. In fact, when you think about it, Abraham was a Gentile. Because Jacob has his name changed to Israel. Names that end in E-L. El is God. Daniel, judge of God. Ezekiel, you know. At this point, he's a Gentile. The covenant for the nation of Israel through the law and through circumcision and all that covenant relationship came more than 400 years later. Rahab is a Gentile woman and a prostitute. Would you pick her for the genealogy of Christ? But check out Matthew chapter 1, I think it's verse 5. Yeah. She's in the genealogy of Christ. You see, her faith was enough to shelter the spies. And they said to her, okay, you hang a red cord out your window, and when we come against the city, we'll protect you. And out of all of this Jericho, Rahab and her immediate family that were with her in the house were the only ones that were preserved. Her faith had action. Divine faith has action. We're not afraid to sacrifice. We're not afraid to take risks. Amen? Right? Three kinds of faith. Dead faith, demonic faith, and divine faith. You put the label on yourself as to where you're at. Okay? That's it. We did it. Closing song. I promised him that I would not put it at the end. He says, it's hard to follow a video. So we did a second point stretch. Did you enjoy that, though? That was fun.